You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
We've got a list. Pregame.com research did the height of the quarterbacks in the NFL. So Kyler Murray's 5'10". There he is. Russell Wilson, 5'11". Drew Brees, 6 foot. Baker Mayfield, 6'1". Every other projected starting quarterback is 6'2 or taller. So that means literally you've got 32, 31, 30. There's 29 quarterbacks that are 4 inches or more taller than Kyler Murray. There's only three. He'd be the shortest quarterback to start with. But you might say, oh, well, yeah, he's short, but so is Russell Wilson. So is Drew Brees. That's fine. But of all the short quarterbacks that's ever, oh, let's make a fifth-round pick on him, give him a shot, of all those guys, there's three of them below 6'2 playing in the league. And one of them is Baker Mayfield, just finished his rookie year. We have no idea where he's headed, up, down, out of the league, whatever. Obviously had a decent, at minimum, a decent season. So this isn't about, oh, you know, he's just a little short. No, this is that he's 4 inches, Kyler Murray, shorter than all but three quarterbacks in the NFL. Now, let me ask Brad Powers, all the college knowledge, what has Kyler Murray done that would warrant being, I mean, I would say being a first-round pick. I'll even say that. We can debate the whole, should he be the number one pick? But what has Kyler Murray done to say that fundamentally everything else in the NFL doesn't matter? Because everything else in the NFL says that almost every quarterback is at least 4 inches taller than him. What did he do in college that says those rules don't apply to Kyler Murray?
Statistically, last season, Kyler Murray had one of the greatest seasons in the history of college football. Statistically.
Okay. So who else would be in that conversation as the great statistical season?
Well, the issue is three of the four statistically greatest seasons in college football history have come from the same offense, Oklahoma, in the last 3 years. Two by Baker Mayfield, one by Kyler Murray last year.
All right,
that's passing efficiency.
Okay, now, so we're looking at passing efficiency as the measure of great season?
Yeah, I would think so.
Okay, I mean, there's all kinds of different ways to do it. Okay, so who else, just off the top of your head, having the college knowledge you do, have had some of the great statistical seasons in the history of college football in the last 5, 7, 8 years?
Tua Tagovailoa last year. Colt McCoy has had one, but that's going back like 10 years. Lamar Jackson a couple years ago, rushing wise, not necessarily passing wise. Those are some of your, I would say, I mean, similar numbers.
We've certainly had like some Hawaii quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah, Timmy Chang. You've had Case Keenum throw for a bunch of yards from Houston, an offensive friendly
Colt
systems.
Brennan. Come on,
Colt Brennan.
Yes,
exactly. So I guess the point I'm making is this: if we took the 20 best statistical seasons in the history of college football and then correlated that to NFL success, there wouldn't be a great correlation.
I think it would be 50-50 at best of them guys actually being, I would say, decent quarterbacks at the next level.
And if you take winning quarterbacks, the old Danny Werfel analogy, oh, he's a winner. Those winning quarterbacks that don't have the physical skills tend to struggle also.
Yes, Eric Crouch from Nebraska. You know, you look at White, Jason White from Oklahoma. All those guys were flameouts at the pro level.
Because the assumption, and then you've got a guy like a Josh Allen that doesn't necessarily have good stats in college, doesn't necessarily play for a good program. They're not even winning games, not even in a tough conference, but he's got the measurables.
He's 6'7 with a rocket laser arm and can move.
So the theory is that the measurables at quarterback matter.
Yep.
It just doesn't make sense to me that now we finally have a guy, Kyler Murray, where the measurables don't seem to matter. And let's reveal the updated odds, and we could call this a world premiere. Right now, Brad Powers, what's the odds that Kyler Murray is the number one pick in the draft?
Minus 250. Basically means Kyler Murray's got a 70% chance to go the first number one overall pick.
And not even 10 days ago. Like 10 days ago, he was 50-50 to go in the top nine. Now think about that. 10 days ago, 50-50 chance Kyler Murray would be one of the first nine picks in the draft. Now he's a 70% chance to be the number one pick in the draft. He hasn't thrown one pass. He hasn't run. He hasn't done anything except apparently have one of the worst interview succession of interview sessions in the history of the combine. This to me, and on the other side, we will talk about what this really means. The only way that this makes any sense, the only way Kyler Murray should be a favorite to be the number one pick is if there's a fundamental paradigm shift in the NFL.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will tell you about potentially a major shift in the NFL.
Each weekday, we have fun bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you right now on the Strip. 62 degrees. The neon is flowing. By the way, Fez, new contest. You're off senior day. Every Tuesday you take off for rest. Some are saying stem cell treatment. I'm not saying that's true or not. But we do have a new game. We're trying to predict what early bird special you're having dinner at. So our guest yesterday was the Silverton. We just looked at the various menus and offers. Where did you eat dinner last night?
I was going to go to the Longhorn and get the prime rib, but I'm getting too old. I got to eat healthier. So South Point went ahead and had the fish.
You had the fish at the South Point.
Yes.
So we're 0 for 1. I think we're gonna get this at some point.
So we discussed last segment here on Straight Out of Vegas the Kyler Murray situation, the comments from Charlie Casserly, and where he sits as the betting favorite heading into the draft to go number one overall. If you missed any of that, you can check out the podcast at foxsportsradio.com. After the show is over. But there is a bigger discussion here, and it's about a potential fundamental change in the NFL. RJ, what's the biggest takeaway on this?
Well, let's think about this. Brad, we were doing Straight Out of Vegas weekend edition. By the way, still a weekend edition, 11 o'clock Pacific to midnight on Saturday. Bernie Fratto hosting. It's a best of show. Very popular. Leads into Jonas Knox and his nine-hour shift. How many hours is that?
I think we're at 25 now.
Yeah, like it's a long. He does a long shift, you know. But hey, older people repeat themselves, and overnight hosts repeat themselves. No judgment at all, Brad. We were on that overnight shift, and the question was: would Kyler Murray maybe hang up his cleats before the season was even over? Because we thought, hey, this is his one football season. This is it. They lose two or three games. Oklahoma out of the national championship hunt. Maybe he doesn't even risk injury. That was the conversation.
Absolutely it was.
So why was that the conversation?
Well, because the expectation was Kyler Murray, he just can't make it at the next level. We've never seen a guy of his stature ever get drafted.
No, no pun intended, his stature.
Yeah. And we've never seen a guy get drafted that high. He's already been a highly drafted pick out of the Major League Baseball. We just thought it'd be kind of like a one-and-done type of year.
Well, no, it wasn't. We thought it would be one-and-done. That was what he said it was going to be.
Yep.
We thought it might not even be a full one. We were speculating bad start to the season. He just says, forget about that football.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So think about this. The guy who is now 70% chance, based on the odds, Kyler Murray to go number one in the NFL draft, a year ago, less than a year ago, 6 months, 7 months ago, we felt like there was a chance he wouldn't even finish his one college football season, because what would be the point if he lost a few games? Now, you would have to think Kyler Murray must have had the best season in the history of the NFL or of college football. But, Brad, we were talking about this yesterday. Is Kyler Murray's season, was it significantly better than Tua?
No, actually, Tua had better numbers. Tua, I mean, to put in perspective, mid-November, Tua to win the Heisman was minus 1,000. 10-1, Tua was going to win it. Almost a 90% chance, not Kyler
With like Murray. A month left, in, yeah. Or not even a month, a couple games left. Yeah. And then the Ohio State quarterback, how much better a season did Murray have?
Not that much better than Dwayne Haskins.
So you could make the case that Murray had a top three season in college football.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And if I would have asked you over under entering the season, where would you put Murray's over under for how many quarterbacks will have a better season than him? What would the number have been?
Five and a half.
So you're saying you thought he was going to be either the fifth or sixth best quarterback, Murray, and he probably ended up being the second best quarterback.
Yep.
And somehow, some way, we're taking that 5-10 quarterback, and it bears repeating. There's only three starting quarterbacks in the NFL, 6-1 or below. So every other starting quarterback is at least 4 inches taller. And because he went from the fifth best season to the second best season, a guy that wasn't even going to play football after this year's bowl game is now 70% to be the number one pick in the draft. And we're hearing reports starting in the last 24 hours that he's had as bad an interview process as any quarterback in memory. The only thing that allows this to make any sense is we've just said, hey, everything you think you know about the NFL, forget about it. Don't matter. Don't give a care about it, because it's a new game. And oh, by the way, you know who we're hiring for our coach? A guy who in college as a head coach, Brad,
had a losing record. Cliff Kingsbury in Big 12 play. You throw out Kansas, deservedly so. Kansas, the worst power
five. So you're saying Kansas is so bad, you've just got to set them aside.
Yep.
Every Big 12 game he coached, other than against Kansas University,
Kingsbury went 13-35.
So he's coming in. He's the head guy. And oh, by the way, he's got a hankering for this 5'10 guy who wasn't going to play football at the end of the season. And oh, by the way, he's a 70% chance to go number one. There's one or two things going on here. Everything in the past no longer matters, or these people are freaking crazy. I guess we're going to see, and we'll be here to talk about it.
There could be some impact on the current Cardinals roster, obviously, if Kyler Murray does go number one overall. That would mean, what happens to Josh Rosen? And earlier today on The Herd with Colin Cowherd, he discussed the value of Josh Rosen in comparison to other quarterbacks in the league.
Josh Rosen, and I'll stamp it here, is absolutely better than at least seven starting quarterbacks in the NFL. He is better than Andy Dalton. He is better than Ryan Tannehill. He is better than Blake Bortles. He is better than Colt McCoy, who will start for Washington. He's better than Case Keenum. He's better than Marcus Mariota. And I'll say it right now, he's better than Eli Manning. I absolutely believe that.
Okay. Let's agree with the following. Josh Rosen probably is the poster child of don't overreact to his first season. Why? Two main reasons. One, a coach that got fired in his first year. Now, how rare is that? If there's not, I guess I don't even remember any like impropriety, like, you know, domestic abuse or whatever. How often does a coach get just 1 year?
Less than 5%, maybe 1%.
I mean, I wonder, producers back in the room, try to find that if you can. It's a rare thing. So that must mean that it was egregious, that the coaching was considered by upper management at Arizona egregiously bad. Point number two, why Rosen and his stats, his seeming performance may be, it's unfair to judge him by them. Fez, let's talk offensive line. In the last 5 years, could the case be made Arizona's offensive line was the most injured?
I think you can. Rosen was basically running for his life every game.
But what we're saying is if you have 32 teams over 5 years, you've got over 150 teams, I guess 160 exactly, 160 different individual teams. I just did that in my head, Brad. I don't know if you know that.
I like that, yeah.
And certainly the amount of injury that Arizona's O-line in 2018 had would be amongst the top five injured O-lines. True or false?
True, and it makes me think about the year the Giants had when all their linemen got hurt and what a disaster it was for them. It's impossible to move an offense when you have so many injuries.
So now you've got a guy, and let's not forget, because there certainly are ebbs and flows when it comes to sentiment, when it comes to who's popular, who's not. There was a lot of conversation that Josh Rosen was the most NFL-ready quarterback in last year's draft. You remember that, don't you, Jonas?
Yeah, that was the feeling amongst people that studied all the quarterbacks in the first round, yes.
It was like, listen, if you want a guy that's going to come in, you know, maybe his ceiling isn't quite as high if everything goes perfectly for other quarterbacks. But this guy is as ready as anyone, if not the most ready, Josh Rosen. Then you have the double whammy. The double whammy.
Whoa, make me rich, make me rich. Whammy, you can drop dead stuff.
Of both offensive line being historically injured and coaching, which is historically inept, and then we're now saying, oh, forget about him. Josh Rosen's yesterday's news. And Peter King said he talked to multiple teams, and the going price for Josh Rosen is a third round pick. Now, I'm not an all 22, watch every play. Oh, look, he can't get the velocity on that nine route I expected. But boy, oh boy, this seems like the old Warren Buffett, buy low, you know, low, sell high kind of thing, that Rosen had about as bad a situation as he could. And the idea of the number 10 pick, was he?
Yep.
Going for now a third round pick after 1 year. Boy, Fez, that feels like they're selling really cheap if that's the price.
Agreed. Someone's going to get a bargain on Rosen. Remember, Rosen's a pocket passer, so when you can't protect him, he's dead in the water. It's not like he's Mayfield. It's not like he's Josh Allen and he can scramble and make things happen. That's not where he's going to be successful.
And we were talking about it with the idea of the coaching staff only being 1 year. Producer Mackey, you got some numbers on that.
Since 2000, we had 9 NFL head coaches that were one and done. Steve Wilkes became number 10.
All right, so in almost 20 years, it happens every other year. This is a rare occurrence that someone goes so quickly. And my guess is if we went down that 10, some of them left by choice, they got a better job, yep, or whatever. So to me, my closing thought, if I'm an Arizona fan, and maybe ask yourself this question, if you were an Arizona fan, who would you rather be your quarterback next year, Josh Rosen or Kyler Murray? Forget the fact if you keep Josh Rosen, you also have a number one pick that you could get multiple other number ones for. Boy, if I was betting an over under 4.5 wins on Arizona, who do you want quarterback in, Fez?
It's funny you say that. I would want Rosen because I make the Arizona number with Rosen 4.5. If they get Murray, I make it 4.
I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He is the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
82 games. The trick is you don't overreact to any one game. But boy, talk about up arrow, down arrow. You got a Celtics team that you have the Bill Simmons of the world having emergency podcasts saying, what the heck is going on? And then on the other hand, Golden State, as big of a favorite as there's ever been this time of year. And then yesterday, a pretty shocking result. Fez, understanding we try not to overreact to the short term, what do we take away from yesterday's result?
I say we don't overreact. Now, I understand.
You know, I've heard that before.
I understand Boston just beat them 128-95, but Golden State had just come back from a long road trip. That right now they're in first place in the West. They play Denver Friday night. That's the much more important game, and I think bottom line is they got home and they just took a night off.
So, hold on. So you're saying on Tuesday night, they said, you know, let's relax against the Celtics on TV because we've got a big game Friday?
Well, they got down 20 so quickly. And I actually.
So, how'd they get down 20 so quickly?
Sometimes in the NBA, you just shoot poorly. Klay didn't play, and your opponent shoots well, and you get down 20. And then, do you want to put in a lot of effort? And I actually put in an inquiry to my NBA, one of my experts who was watching the game. I said, what's going on? And he just said, Golden State doesn't care tonight. I'm betting Boston second half, was his reaction.
Okay, so now the flip side is, if we don't hold Golden State accountable, it's hard to give Boston too much credit.
Exactly.
So do you not upgrade Boston too much here?
I'm not going to upgrade Boston because let's face it, Boston has been underachieving so much that it's hard for me to suddenly say, oh, they fixed their problem. This is a team, RJ, they lost to the Lakers. I mean, they have just struggled mightily since the All-Star break.
Speaking of the Lakers, Arjavel straight out of Vegas, talking a little NBA. Now, mathematically, it looks like it's over. It's like minus 2,500 if you want to say Celtics, or check that, Lakers will not make the playoffs. Got to bet $25 to win a dollar, or as I like to say, 100 to win a Subway footlong. That's a long shot. Do you think that this is where this is the dream crusher? Or is this like a, hey, we're going to show everyone we're not giving up, and then they give up in a game or two? So if I said on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the NBA Finals and 1 being as low as you can go, what is the Lakers' effort level tonight?
1. I really think this is the dream crusher of all dream crushers. They had to go all in. They had to beat the Clippers. It's over.
All right, so what's the current number right now on that Laker game?
Right now, Denver is laying 5.5 at Los Angeles.
So do you love Denver?
I do not love.
Well, hold on a second. You've got a team that's playing about, as you're saying, with the least amount of effort humanly possible, but you don't want to bet the other team?
The problem is, I think the marketplace is aware of it, RJ. So you see a Denver team that's been, frankly, not.
Well, let me ask you this question. All right, so the line is, let's just call it 5 in LA. So if it were on a neutral, let's go 4 points for home field, it'd be 9. If it were in Denver, it'd be 13. Does that sound right?
Yes.
Okay. What would the line, if we assume the Lakers were motivated, what would the line be in L.A.? So the line now is 5 in L.A. What would the line be?
Line be close to pick 'em.
So you're saying you think it was like a 5-point adjustment based upon the expected effort level of the Lakers?
Correct.
Wow. So, guys, you've got your marching orders. If you believe the Lakers are going to play hard tonight, if you don't think that this is the give-up game of all give-up games, you got to love the Lakers tonight, right?
Absolutely. Just think about this. The Lakers just a week ago were hosting Houston. Houston's better than Denver, and the Lakers were getting 3, and now they're getting 5.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
We have a doubleheader in the NBA on ESPN, tipping off a little over an hour from now, 8 o'clock Eastern time. It is the 76ers at the Bulls. And right now on pregame.com, Philly is a 4-point favorite.
So, Fez, off your senior day, you actually like this one. This is a bet for you.
It is. I like Chicago.
All right, so.
What are you doing? Wise guy don't carry his money in a wallet. Hey, wise guy carries money in a roll.
So you're taking off the rubber band.
And betting Chicago +4.5, and it's all about Chicago being underrated with Otto Porter. They acquired him from Washington. This is why this was really important. At the break, we thought, oh, the Bulls, this might be one of the teams that's going to tank and not even try and look to lose games. But they went out and acquired a quality player that's getting 18 points per game. And since Porter's been playing for the Bulls are 6-3 straight up, 6-3 against the spread. And this Bulls team is getting healthier. They had some guys that were hurt back in December. Dunn, Markkanen, they're all playing better like the Bulls here. And the 76ers, RJ, not nearly as good without Embiid. He'll be missing tonight.
And the current number?
+4, +4.5.
Is Bulls, this is a bet, Fezzik taking off the rubber band, Bulls +4.5.
Guy, the NBA's version of the Hindenburg is the LA Lakers. We have discussed them at length over the course of the past several weeks, and now the Lakers find themselves hosting the Denver Nuggets, 10:30 Eastern time tip-off, and LA is a 5.5-point underdog at home.
Now, Jonas, when you talked about the Lakers like that, is that a veiled shot at Colin Cowherd?
No. That is
because
not...
Because Colin talks a ton of Lakers. Some critics will say he talks too much Lakers. You have been hypercritical of Colin. I just didn't know.
I actually give Colin Cowherd credit because he's not dying on that hill with the Lakers and LeBron.
Yeah,
he's
but
actually
what
called
I'm saying
out LeBron.
Is how much he talks about LeBron and stuff. You know, a lot of criticism. I didn't know if that was you or not.
I actually agree with him more so on the Lakers than maybe, and I'm just throwing this out there, than maybe Brad.
Than many other subjects you really disagree with.
Than maybe Brad does on the Josh Rosen thing. That's all.
Very aggressive.
Yeah, he's very aggressive. All right, Fez, we already talked about this Lakers game, but it bears repeating. What would the line be? The starting point of line, spreads, or power ratings. How good is A team? How good is B team? And where's the game being played? Assuming both teams tonight, the Nuggets and the Lakers, were both at max effort, what is the Fezzik line?
Pick 'em.
Pick 'em. It's like pick the winner. What's the current line?
Denver is laying 5.5 now.
Now, how could that be?
It's all about the Lakers' dream crusher. When they lost to the Clip Joint on Monday night, that was it. Their chance of making the playoffs went from 10%, RJ, down to 1%. It's over.
All right, so really, guys, that's the handicap. Sometimes there's these one-issue handicaps, and in this case, if you believe the Lakers, and I'll be honest with you, I kind of feel like they want one last gasp just to say, oh, you guys are watching us to get embarrassed tonight. We won't. I think they play hard tonight. If you agree with me, value Lakers +5.5. But if you don't agree, if you think the Lakers are at little to no effort, the line is pretty much right. So that's the one issue, how much effort the Lakers put in. Fez, which way do you lean?
You know, I'm actually going to lean to Denver because I just think the Lakers are absolutely mailing it in, especially on defense.
Guys, it was announced and Coach K said yesterday that Zion Williamson most likely is out versus North Carolina on Saturday for the Duke Blue Devils. So, RJ, where do we stand on these Zion sweepstakes here on the show?
You know, I'm thinking up at pregame.com to have a where's Zion, kind of like where's Waldo? Like, do we even know where he is? So, to update... Brad Powers, very egotistical, very intelligent, but very big ego. It got him off the farm, but now sometimes he gets in trouble because of it. We made a bet. Will Zion play another game in college? You gave me 4-1. I said, no, he is done. You gave me 4-1. 250 to win 1,000 is our bet right here on air. Now, at this point, what do you think the odds are that Zion plays another game?
65%.
Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a chance because we like to ramp things up here, right? If 10, you know, Spinal Tap says if 10 is good, 11 is better. So would you like to double the bet just to make it just a little bit more interesting? Yes or no?
No.
Oh, did you notice, Fez, how he said no real low? Like you could, he was like, no.
I think he's worried that Zion might be hanging out in Zion National Park hiking right now.
I mean, so you're worried is effectively what you're saying.
I am. I thought he'd be back last night or at the very least the North Carolina game.
You know, Clay Travis right here in Fox Sports Radio made an interesting point. You're not going to bring him back, it feels like, in the tournament where there's like three successive games right in a row. If you're not bringing him back against North Carolina, I mean, are you just going to bring him back for the NCAA? Mm. That feels so mercenary. It's almost like they don't want to do it. How do you even make the odd 65%? Like, paint me a word picture of how it's a reasonable return of Zion, assuming we know where he even is.
I got to believe Coach K yesterday said he would be surprised if Zion doesn't play in the ACC tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're all f***ed in the head. We're 10 hours from the fun park and you want to bail out.
I think Zion's played his last game. Fez, would you like to any piece of my 250 get you? What do you put the odds at right now?
I would put him at around 60%, and I think there's a lot
60% what? That he plays?
That he plays, and I think there's a lot of Nike executives having behind closed-door meetings right now sweating out whether he's going to play or not.
Which was my basic premise, is if he plays in Nike shoes, Zion loses a ton of leverage when it comes time to negotiate a shoe deal, so why not wait and then say, yeah, I'll go back to Nike and prove I'm not scared of those shoes. But boy, you better pay up. So, Brad, you say you believe the coach. I say I'm following the money. You guys decide which way you want to go.
The Odd Couple is next here on Fox Sports Radio. We are straight out of Vegas. Back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.